Hey, all you out there in the podcast universe, you're probably wondering exactly why I'm coming to you on a Monday. Well, there's a good reason why. As I often do, let me break down the fourth wall of the podcast universe. Sometimes podcasts like The Commercial Break will get a request for something called a feed drop. That's when I take someone else's podcast or a snippet of someone else's show and put it on my own RSS feed, the thing that you're listening to right now. These are very common throughout the industry, and 9 times out of 10, I say no to these. I know your time is valuable and I don't want to waste it, but a couple times a year, a request will come across my desk and I actually like the podcast and I think you might like it too. And today, I've got one of those shows. It's something I've talked about before here on The Commercial Break. It's a show called Campus Files. For many people, college was some of the best days of their life. But if you pull back the curtain, scratch the surface a little bit, it was much more complicated and sometimes sinister than it appeared. Financial fraud and abuse, sports scandals, political unrest and upheaval, admission shenanigans, and downright craziness. It seems like every other week, there's a headline about a scandal at a major university. Each week, Campus Files dives into some of the wildest scandals and stories that have taken place across colleges and universities. I'll tell you what, Campus Files is definitely sharing some stories that you will not hear on the campus tour. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to drop in a preview where Campus Files is taking a deep dive into a Greek life drama. More specifically, Bama Rush. And if you know me, I love a good Bama Rush drama. And this one is no joke. This is an Odyssey original podcast. You can get it on the free Odyssey app or wherever you're listening to podcasts. Take a listen to this 10-minute preview about Bama Rush, and I'll be back to wrap it up.
I draw the line in the dust and toss the gauntlet before the feet of tyranny, and I say segregation now, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever.
The University of Alabama is the site of one of the most famous moments in the history of the civil rights era. In 1963, Alabama Governor George Wallace defiantly stood in the doorway of the university auditorium. He was symbolically trying to block black students from desegregating the university.
As governor and chief magistrate of the state of Alabama, I deem it to be my solemn obligation and duty to stand before you, representing the rights and sovereignty of this state and its people.
Despite George Wallace's attempts, the black students ultimately enrolled and made history. Fast forward 50 years, and history was set to be made again at the University of Alabama, this time in the sorority system. Because at the start of 2013, during Abby's senior year, there was buzz around campus about a standout candidate for sorority recruitment. Her name was Kennedy, and she was black. Abby says that Kennedy had everything sororities at Alabama typically looked for. A 4.3 GPA, salutatorian of her high school class, and her grandfather was a prominent Alabama judge who even served on the university board of trustees.
Everyone was like, this girl, she is well-connected, she has these great grades. People in Tuscaloosa love her. She has a bunch of friends in the sororities.
The student paper, The Crimson White, was gearing up to write a story about Kennedy's acceptance.
It was expected to be this, like, celebratory story. Everyone was like, this is going to be a big deal. She's going to be the girl that changes things.
The Crimson White even had a photographer ready to capture the moment on bid day, the day when sororities extend invitations or bids to freshmen. Bid day is a big deal.
All the families come out and everyone's cheering for the girls that are running to each house, and boys in fraternities are handing them flowers. It's a community social thing to be celebrated.
But bid day 2013 didn't bring the anticipated celebration, because Kennedy didn't get a bid from a single one of the 16 sororities.
Everyone was just really surprised, and people were whispering, like, wow, something definitely happened.
Abby had since dropped out of her sorority, Alpha Gamma Delta, so she wasn't in the loop about what had happened. She started reaching out to a few old sorority sisters but no one was willing to talk to the paper. Then she remembered a girl in the sorority named Melanie.
She was one of the few out-of-state girls in our pledge class. She was from Texas. You don't think of bastion of liberal ideas, Texas, but she grew up in a city. And so she came not caring about like the social do's and don'ts or the proper etiquette stuff. And I was like, well, if there was someone in that house who had something to say about it, it would have probably been her.
Abby was right. Melanie was willing to talk, and she shared everything that had gone down in Alpha Gamma Delta. She said the first round of Rush had gone as usual, 2 days of nonstop conversations with freshmen. But then things got strange. The Alpha Gamma sisters were supposed to vote on which freshmen to invite back for the next round. But that's when they heard from their alumni that there would be no vote. The alumni had already decided who would be invited back. As odd as it may seem, it's not unusual for sorority alumni, often middle-aged women, to have a say in which girls get bids. But in this case, the alumni had decided to eliminate Kennedy without the usual discussion and input from the current sorority members. Here's Melanie.
I'm a senior at this point. We're very low involvement in the Rush process. So I'm like very not involved, but I live in the house at this time. So I'm hanging out at the house and there's like girls crying and just like really upset. And this one girl I'm close with that's younger was like, did you hear? Like, you know, there's like this girl that everyone wants, this black girl. And like, they're not taking because she's black. Like they're automatically nixing her. And everyone's like, isn't that crazy? And it's not going to be talked about. So I'm like getting fired up.
That evening, alumni held a meeting with the sorority members to discuss the next round of Rush. At first, the conversation carefully sidestepped the elephant in the room.
They don't want this to be discussed. They just are kind of like moving things along and they're like, okay, we're going to do this and this. And you know, this wraps up a great day. And I was like, are we not going to talk about the black girl that everyone has been talking about in the house all day?
The room fell silent until one of the alumni finally spoke up. She claimed that Kennedy had received a so-called negative letter of recommendation.
Meaning that somebody wrote a letter saying, you know, this girl is not good for your sorority. She did something bad. She's in bad news, something like that. Which is just like a lie, or she wrote it, or someone wrote it because they didn't want a black woman in the sorority.
One by one, women in the sorority began advocating for Kennedy.
So then like all these girls start speaking up and like saying all these things like, you know, we would love to be the first sorority to have a black woman. We would like stand up for her. You know, if fraternities didn't want to have parties with us, because that was always a big concern, you know, we wouldn't want to have parties with that fraternity anyways, but it kept going and going and it was going nowhere. And at the end of the day, like the alumni, older women were the ones that handle the paperwork and like send it in. So there's really nothing we could do.
When bid day came around, Melanie found out that Kennedy had been dropped from every other sorority as well. She says she wasn't necessarily shocked given the culture at Alabama.
There's just a general feel of like the old South. You would drive by some of the fraternity houses. They have a giant Confederate flag hanging in a window. You hear people actually say the N-word in a way that isn't like in a rap song or something. Like it could be a very scary place for a black person. And I remember bringing a friend from high school that was black to visit. And I was like, honestly nervous for her to like come into the sorority because it was entirely white women and black women were the women that served food to us. And it's just like, I was just worried for how she would feel.
But there was still a part of Melanie that had wanted to believe the sorority system was above all that.
Up until that moment, I think that most people wanted to believe it wasn't because they were black that they weren't getting in. It was just because like they didn't have a mother, great-grandmother that went there. They didn't have close friends that were in the sorority. Like there were other reasons that they weren't getting in. But this particular situation, it was so black and white, that it was because it was the color of her skin, because she had every other criteria to get in than that, that it was like hard to shy away from at this point.
It turned out that what had happened in Alpha Gamma Delta wasn't unique. Through conversations with women in various sororities, Abby and her co-writer learned that alumni in several chapters had similarly intervened to block Kennedy's admission. Some alumni even threatened to pull financial support if she were accepted. But in a few sororities, it was the undergraduate women who opposed admitting Kennedy. They worried that fraternities would stop socializing with them if they welcomed a black woman. Abby and her co-writer weren't all that surprised by what they were hearing. But what did surprise them was that sorority members were actually willing to talk to the paper. Here's Abby.
Media training is a part of being in a sorority. It's very frowned upon to talk about what happens on the inside of sororities and fraternities, and no one likes to be a squeaky wheel.
The Crimson White's previous articles about segregation in Greek life didn't have any inside sources, and the articles weren't taken seriously as a result.
So many people had written stuff about Greek life, be it the racism, the hazing, all of that, but everything was able to be kind of chalked up to just jealous or like they don't know what it's like. But this story had people within the system calling it out.
To clarify, these sorority members were speaking to the paper on the condition of anonymity, but it was still a historic first, and the story was almost guaranteed to attract attention as a result.
I remember I talked to my dad, who was in a fraternity at Alabama. He was worried for me, like genuinely worried. I'm pretty sure he made a joke about someone's going to come burn a cross in your front yard or something. But it was more just like pissing people off for messing things with how the way things were and putting campus in a bad spotlight.
The story was threatening enough that the night before publication, Abby and her co-writer received a call from a fraternity member. He offered to pay them off to suppress the story. "Name your price," he said. That same night, Abby got another unexpected message, this time from Melanie.
I was keeping her updated on when it was going to publish, and the night before it published, I was like, "It's going to publish tomorrow." And then she texted me back, "Put my name on that shit."
Meaning Melanie was willing to go on the record. She wanted her name included in the article.
She was really brave for that.
That 10 minutes of audio gives me chills. It's a testament to the power of audio and the power of podcasts. And if you like that, there's lots more where that came from. Check out Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you're listening to this podcast. I love that Odyssey supports great content and great content creators. Go check out Campus Files. Chrissy and I will be back to regularly scheduled programming tomorrow. And until then, I do say, I will say, and I must say, goodbye.